Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight as well, and God will come through. He is almighty. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Joshua and chapter 7 tonight, Joshua chapter 7. We've been going through on Wednesday night studying the life of Joshua, studied about the Joshua the man and all the preparation that God put him through in getting him ready to take the nation of Israel into the promised land and then conquer the land, divide the land. And Joshua, I just love the Bible character of Joshua. I trust it's already been a tremendous help to you and a blessing to you as we've been studying not only what God has recorded, but knowing how we can apply it to our lives. Last week in chapter 6, we found that God had given Joshua the plan. Joshua was able to receive that and give it to the people. And then last week it was execute God's plan for victory. Can I tell you, God always has a plan for victory, to overcome, to be able to conquer whatever it is that we are to conquer and whatever it is that God would have us to overcome. God has a plan. We just need to know that plan and then execute that plan, have faith in God in executing it. Last week, the thing we looked at here is keeping quiet. In verse 10, this is what Joshua said. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout." Now, and that was as they would walk around the walls of Jericho and walk around them seven times on the last day. None of the time, at no time were they to respond to the shouts and the gestures of those on the wall of Jericho, but they were to allow God to be heard. And boy, that's a powerful thought right there. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and let God be heard. Pray that God would work, and then let God work. Don't try to take the place of the Holy Spirit. So what a blessing there. Allow God to be heard. Chapter 7 now. Let's go ahead, if you would, stand with me. We're going to be reading chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. This is after the victory at Ai, or after the victory at Jericho. Now they're getting ready to go up to against Ai. The Bible says in verse 7, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again tonight, thanking you for the opportunity that you've made available to all that are here to come and to be a part of the service. What we've already received is a blessing in being here. Now, as we've opened up your precious holy word and we read this passage of scripture, I pray, God, that you would help us, each and every one, to focus on what we just read, and Lord, be able to look to you to receive whatever it is that you have for each one of us. And I pray, God, that we would receive it and be willing and ready to apply it. Empower the preaching of thy word once again tonight, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Chapter 7, a little bit different. Previous six chapters of Joshua have been filled with positives, have been filled with God speaking to his people and his people listening and applying and being able to get the victory. All that had taken place after they crossed over Jordan, all that had taken place, what just happened in Jericho, and tremendous blessings here. But chapter 7 begins with a negative. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And that tells us what it was that they did. And it really comes down to one man, Achan, the son of Carmi, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against, doesn't say Achan, the children of Israel. So in chapter 7 in verse 1, what happens is their fellowship with God has now changed. If you're saved, your relationship with God will never change. Your relationship with God is based upon being one of his children, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And once you've done that, that will never change. You're not going to lose your salvation. Israel could not deny that God was the God, their God, and they were his children. That was the relationship, the covenant that had already been made. They were the children of God. Once you get saved, you become God's child. If you have children, can I tell you that the blood, your blood flows through their veins, and they're going to always be your children. That relationship will never change. It cannot change. What can change, however, is the fellowship. The fellowship. So their fellowship with God in chapter 7 now has changed. God's anger was kindled against his children. Have you ever felt that? You ever felt like disowning your children? Turning your back and say, I don't know who the kid that is. That's not mine. Yeah. That can never change. But the fellowship. At this point, only Achan would have known this. At this point. Because Achan was the only one that knew that outside of God, that he had taken of the accursed thing. Joshua did not know that. Therefore, Joshua had no idea at this time that we're read, the verse that we just read, that the fellowship had changed. The God's anger was now kindled against Joshua because he was the leader of the children of Israel. None of the other Israelites, none of them, the soldiers, the wives, the children, the priests, none of them knew of this change in fellowship at that time. It had just happened. The only one that knew was Achan. often wonder what was really going through the mind of Achan when he did that. And then afterwards, how could Achan have done what he did? See, all of them would have known of God's warnings. Look back over chapter 6 and verse 18, because God made it very clear. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves, each one of you, keep yourselves from the accursed things. You're going to go in. I've made pavement out of the walls. I've given you access into Jericho. But when you go in there, you're going to see there's a lot of spoil. But none of that spoil is for you, for this particular victory over Jericho. We're going to see that in just a minute. You're going to understand that. But when you're there, you're going to see these things. There's going to be temptations to take some of these things. So you have to keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. And when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. If any one of you do what I tell you not to do, then you're going to bring the judgment of God down upon your life. You're going to be accursed, and not only you, but it will impact the entire nation of Israel. What you do and the sin that you commit will impact everyone that you're associated with, of the children of Israel. And that includes Joshua. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron. Now, I love this because he tells them why they weren't to take this, that why they were not to take of the spoil. Now, most of the time, especially in this time of a period of time, whenever the soldiers, whenever the victors would get the victory over whatever the enemy, then because they got the victory, they were able to take of the spoil and divide that amongst themselves. And that was something that they had been able to do. But this particular time, God says that is not going to take place in the promised land with this first victory. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. To disobey carries with it a judgment. Whether you understand it or not, it carries with it a judgment. Sin is accursed. Sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, you know this well, for the wages of sin is death, because it's accursed. And that's the judgment. That's what you deserve. That's the payment. That's the wage. Whatever sin, there is a judgment associated with whatever sin, and it's accursed. The spoils of Jericho was viewed as the first fruits. God led them in. This is their first battle inside the promised land. This is the only time that God would tell them that the spoil is not for you. The spoil goes into the treasuries of God, the storehouse of God. Because a storehouse would impact everyone's lives, And we have to keep the storehouse strong. And so God has Old Testament as well as New Testament. He has devised his plan of tithes and offerings. The tithes and offerings that God has presented to us are to come into the storehouse, which today is the church. And it is to be the first fruits. It's not to be of whatever you don't want. It wasn't that they were to go in and take whatever they wanted, and whatever was left, that's what you give to God. That's not honoring him. Proverbs chapter 3, let me just read it to you. You know the verse, I'm sure, but let me just read it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. This would be their first increase. This is the first battle. This was the first fruits that they would honor God with, acknowledging God, giving that to God. And you'll find that all the rest of the battles, they were to take of the spoil. Now that's, again, he didn't have to tell them that. They should have been able to just hear it with what God says and be willing to do whatever God says. If we are not to take of the spoil, then it's a curse because it's sin, it's against God, then I'm not going to take of the spoil. If they didn't even understand it, but he gave them the reasoning for this. All of the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. God says, this is the first fruits. And so we are to honor God by consecrating this to him. Dedicating the first fruits to God. It's not about the money, it's about faith. It's about obedience. It's about trust. Trust in doing things God's way to keep from the accursed thing so that I might be blessed. If I partake of the accursed thing, how can I ever expect God to bless me? I cannot surrender to sin, no matter what sin it might be, because all sin is accursed. I cannot yield to any sin and expect God to be blessing me. Amen? So, it's better to be righteous and rich toward God than to have all this world's riches, than to have whatever this world has to offer. Are we interested more in what the world has to offer or what God has for us? They had experienced up to this point the blessings of God because they had been yielding to God and doing things the way God said to do them. Who would have ever had the strategic plan that God had for them to march around Jericho for the walls to fall down flat just by shouting when it was time to shout? But they had faith. If that's what God tells us to do, we're going to do it. And they seen how God honored his word. And he blessed his word. The Bible in Mark in chapter 8, let me just read this to you. It goes right along with this. In Mark in chapter 8 and verse 36. The Bible says in Mark 8, 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? Now, can I tell you, Satan might want you to think you can gain the whole world, but most people who try to gain the whole world end up in poverty. Yeah. It's just a carrot that Satan's putting out in front of you there. Whatsoever therefore shall be, for whatsoever shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, if it's possible, if you're going to do that. But when you try to do that, you lose his own soul. What profit is that? Achan was a Judas. Achan was an Old Testament Judas. Or, if you will, another example in the New Testament, he would have been an Ananias. He was deceived by the devil through the love of money. He was deceived by the devil for the love of the things of this world. Matter of fact, in chapter Luke, in chapter 22, in verse 3, speaking of Judas, it said, "And entered Satan into Judas so that he would betray the Lord and sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver." I wonder in hell right now how valuable those 30 pieces of silver would be to him. Matter of fact, even before, it was worthless to him. And he went out and hanged himself. When you realize what you sold to get, especially if they've ever had a relationship with God and they've lost that fellowship with God over something in the world, you realize it wasn't worth it. In the book of Acts, in chapter 5, and verse 3, the Bible says, "Satan filled thine heart to lie." That was Ananias. What was that over? He sold the property, and instead of honoring God with the first fruits of the property, he just said that he didn't make as much as what they thought he would, so that he didn't tithe as much on that. And you lost your fellowship with God over money. He said, Peter said, Ananias, it was yours. You didn't have to lie. But you did lie. And that lie cost you your life and your family. That's Achan. That's what we're reading about right here in chapter 7. All of the people, including Achan and Joshua, knew of God's warnings. Only Achan knew of his sin. And so, chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, not knowing that the fellowship had changed, that now that God's anger was kindled against Joshua, because God had warned them, if there was anyone that partook of the accursed thing, that God would judge the entire nation. It would impact the entire family of Israel. So we find here that Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven. Now, if you would read this, as we just did earlier, the spies went out, they came back. So Joshua was not rushing things. He did what he should have done as far as the people were concerned. Spies went out, and decisions were made based upon having God's blessings as they had when they faced Jericho. But that's why it failed. They made decisions based on God's blessings. Based on what it took for them to be able to go up against the mighty armies of Jericho and the walls of Jericho,
If we could do that with this many and this, then let's just sit down, let's kind of calculate it all out. And after they went and studied the land, and they found out that Ai had this many soldiers, had this much might, and they come back and they said, now, based on what we've already experienced in Jericho, then this is all we need to do. Sometimes we make all the right decisions and all the right plans and we have it all figured out as long as you have God's blessings on it. It would have worked if they had the same blessings of God upon their lives when they went up against Jericho that they had when they went up against Ai. The problem is they didn't have that. But they didn't know it. Only Achan knew it. Wow. Everybody following me here? I mean, puts a different light on the subject here. And hopefully, I mean, we can learn from this. And we'll apply it in a minute here. So spies went out. Decisions were made. Let's just take 2,000 or 3,000. They said, if we're going to airless there on the side of caution, they took 3,000. They focused on Ai without considering God's warnings. Why did God give the warning? Why was the warning given before they would go up against Ai? So that they could consider the warning. Consider what the Word of God says before you go up against Ai, because if you're going to have the same victory that you had in Jericho in Ai, you're going to have the same blessings of God. If you're thinking you have the blessings of God and you make decisions based upon thinking you have the blessings of God and you don't have the blessings of God, listen to me, the outcome is going to be the same that it was with Ai. And the question is now, could they have known? Could Joshua have known? Could the soldiers have known? Could the leadership have known? They did not know that Achan had committed the sin. They did not know any of this, but it had taken place. And they went on like they had the blessings of God, that no one had committed the trespass. Could they have known before they had gone up to Ai, before they would have been defeated at Ai? Did they take God for granted? Just expecting God to give them the victory, without taking heed to the warnings that God had given to them. Without checking off the things that they should have been checking off to make sure, if they would have checked off the same things they checked off before they went up against Jericho, if they would have checked off the same things they did before they went up against Jericho, could they have found out that they did not have the blessings of God to go up against Ai? But they took God for granted and they didn't do their due diligence to make sure that they were still in fellowship with God. There was no sin in the camp. There's a possibility of sin in the camp because God warned them of sin in the camp. And if there's sin in the camp, then my blessings are not going to be upon you, because you've taken of the accursed thing. And there's always judgment that follows the accursed thing. Take heed. And ye in any wise, this is something you need to be aware of, in any wise, keep yourselves, every one of you, from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves, you're going to be accursed and you're going to have to endure the judgment of God individually when you take of the accursed thing. And not only that, but your sin will make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. That's there in the Bible. They could have and should have considered that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18 says, "One sinner destroyeth much good." Do you know how many families have been destroyed because of one sinner in the family? Dad? And you think you can keep it, or it's not going to impact anybody else? There's been many of men who thought that, only to find their sin destroying their marriage and hindering the raising of their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Come on, Mom, you really don't think that your sin will affect your husband? You really don't think that your sin will affect your children? Come on, children, young people, especially teenagers. You really don't think that your sin is going to impact your siblings? You really don't think that your sin is going to impact your relationship with your mom and dad? You don't think that your sin is going to impact your youth department? If Satan can get in there, one sinner can do a lot of damage. Wow. What a lesson. What are you thinking, Achan? Just didn't think that God meant what he said? You think you're different? I'd say that's a those sinful nature. Everybody thinks they're different. Because you're you. Well, everybody else is them too. Sometimes the one that gets the most upset with somebody else in sin is somebody that's committing that same sin. And you think, well, I can get by with it, but you shouldn't be doing that. Really? Is that what Achan was thinking? Is that what Satan deceived him to believe? Doesn't tell, doesn't say. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, goes right along with this. In verse 7, let me read to you. "Woe unto the world, the whole world, because of offenses." Somebody's sin impacting your life. "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses cometh." Do you know why God has to allow somebody's sin to affect somebody else's life? Because God's given us a free will. Now, God doesn't cause it, but he has to allow it. And he could have kept it from happening by taking that person out. But God has to give us a free will, and because of a free will, when you decide to sin, it's going to impact others. No matter what you think, it will impact others. Achan, your sin will impact others. You're going to offend the entire nation of Israel. You're going to offend Joshua. And it will impact their lives. But he goes on to say, "For it must needs be that offense cometh, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." And we're going to see that play out in what happens to Achan. But woe to that. You don't want to be that man. You don't want to be that teenager. You don't want to have to live the rest of your life regretting what you did to cause your sibling or your family to go through tremendous agonies. See it all the time. You don't want to be that man to realize that because of you, Your children now have two sets of parents and four sets of grandparents, and they don't know what's right and wrong, and they're just almost impossible to get them to truly believe what they need to believe when you were such a phony in what you believed. Wow. That's harsh. No, that's Achan. That's the Bible. It's what God's given to us. None of us ought to want to be an Achan. I don't know. Have you ever met anyone who was named Achan? If you do, they must not have very good parents. I can't imagine any parent that would want to name their child Achan. It's like Judas. I better stop because there might be some names out there. Get myself in trouble, but not Achan. I don't know I've ever met an Achan. Because no one would want to be an Achan. Once you understand who Achan was. Go back with me and we're our close here. My goodness, I can't believe it's already that late. Chapter 7, verse 4 through 6. Because now they experience defeat. First time in Joshua's life. First time in Joshua, the study of Joshua's life, he experienced defeat. And it wasn't because of his sin. It wasn't because of something he did wrong. It's because of Achan. The life of Joshua, this is the lowest that you'll ever see Joshua. So they went up thither to the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. 36 soldiers died under Joshua's leadership. 36 soldiers died unnecessarily. 36 soldiers died, which possibly could have been prevented. One of the things I hate, I go over with the staff all the time, certain things are going to happen, and we can deal with it. But if something happens that could have been prevented, shame on you. Shame on you. Could have been prevented because you didn't take the extra step. Could have been prevented if you'd have just done a little bit more. Could have been prevented. Shame on you. Shame on me. Because when I fail, especially if I've done something wrong, how many people will that impact? Could have been prevented. Joshua's feeling the weight. Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their head. That's a sign of repentance. Possibly they're thinking, could have been prevented. What could have we have done to prevent it? A closer walk with God, to realize that we don't have the same fellowship we had even last night. More of a communication. We don't find them praying at all before this. Maybe a little more communication with God would have prevented it. Could have been prevented.
made a different decision. Never forget, several years back, young people, teenagers, just come home from camp, all fired up. He's going to come to church on Sunday. I'm going to give testimonies. One of the boys that had been at camp, scheduled to give a testimony, I believe. He had some of his old worldly friends contact him and say, hey, why don't you come to the lakes? We're going to go to the lake Sunday morning. Why don't you come and go with us to the lake? Now he's got to make a decision. Do I go to church or go to the lakes? He went to the lake that day. And I believe it was somewhere around 11:05 when he would have been sitting right here. He fell out of the boat, cramped up, and he drowned. Fred could have prevented that by being in church on that Sunday morning. But he committed to being at camp that he was going to make decisions. Instead, he got back and was influenced. We heard that afternoon that they dragged Fred's body out of Geist Reservoir. Could have been prevented. If verse 6 had have been verse 1, if verse 6 would have been how they started out chapter 7, and Joshua said, alas, or and Joshua went, rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. I believe while he was before the Lord praying and fasting, God would have said, Joshua, don't go to Ai because there's sin in the camp and you don't have my blessing. Don't go to Ai. But we don't find verse 6 leading out verse 7, verse chapter 7. We find verse 6 after the fact. When in battle with the devil, especially when we're around enemy territory, we need to make sure that we have fellowship with God. Because it's only with God and Jesus Christ that I can do all things and get the victory that God wants me to have. Could have been prevented. What's in your future that could be prevented if you make the right decisions today? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just think about this for a little bit. None of us would want to be an Achan. But the truth of it is, all of us from time to time are tempted to do exactly what Achan did. Let's be determined. If it can be prevented, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to prevent it. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for this truth that we have in studying the life of Joshua, especially when we come to chapter 7. And I pray, God, that as we have presented the truth tonight, that it would have been received. And possibly someone here tonight will have a decision to make that could possibly prevent something tragic happening in their lives and in the lives of their loved ones. Help us to make the right decisions. Bless now in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.